The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news talk, interviews, information, music, and comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Normally at this time, I'd be introducing you to everyone in the studio, but unfortunately... no one else is in the studio. We got no Wiz Khalifa. We got no Ganja John. I'm pretty much flying solo here at Rolla J Studios. But, of course, joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Yes. And then there were two, Russ.
And then there were two. It's just us, Carrie. We have no interns or volunteers to blame.
Well, let's see how the Ghost in the Machine does today. Yesterday, technically, you know, it was kind of a rough show, though. So did you talk nice to all the machines?
I sure did. I rebooted them and said soothing words. And I do believe we worked out all of the kinks. I mean, my God, yesterday's show, we had enough mistakes for the whole month. So hopefully that's all out of our system.
Yeah, get them out of the way at the beginning of the month. I like that.
That's the way to do it. All right. Well, Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. So what do we got in the news today, Carrie?
Well, today it's a familiar story. You know, we talked yesterday about Arizona worried about people prosecuting state workers or city workers for dispensaries. We're going to talk about a particular town in California that sort of was bullied into that same kind of thinking. Also, the AP had a really interesting story out today about the top pot-growing town in Oregon. I can't wait to tell you about that. And a crazy story out of Florida. An 84-year-old mayor goes nuts and fires the entire police department. That'll be a fun third story.
All right. We're looking forward to that in our news right after the first break. And then after that, we do our 20 after break where we feature our daily toker tunes. And today we're going to get a live call in from NorCal Perps, who's going to play some Catch a Fire for us. Going to be a good break for Irie Wednesday. At half past the hour, as we do every Wednesday, we visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, one of America's leading researchers on the science, history, culture, effects, health, everything you want to know about cannabis. Dr. Mitch is the guy to ask. You can get into our chat room and ask your questions live, or you can call in at 971-533-7111, but hold up until half past the hour when we get Dr. Mitch on the line. Also on today's show, a time for a little bit of radical rant. At the end of the show, I've got to ask people out there who are marijuana legalizers, what exactly is legalization? There seems to be some confusion on the issue as to what is truly legalization and what is not truly legalization. So we will talk about that in the Radical Rant today. So stick with us. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. Also, you can get us on Skype. Just look Radical Russ on Skype if you'd like to get your Dr. Mitch questions in via Skype. We'll be right back after this with the hemp headlines. Stay tuned.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's Today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Did you know there are more tokers than Texans? Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belville, host of Normal Show Live. It's true, there are more adults who will consume cannabis in America this year than the population of Texas. This and thousands of other statistics and polls are part of my new book, Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts, including 19 full-color poster-sized infographics of cannabis data.
A entirely legitimate topic for debate.
If we're going to have that debate, we need the facts. But Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts isn't just some listing of statistics and tables. It's truly a big book, a huge weatherproof binder that becomes its own 12 by 18 presentation easel. The colorful charts are jam-packed with facts that draw interest, and the explanatory text is all rigorously researched from reputable sources. You can make the case against prohibition with the government's own numbers. You can learn more about Normal's Big Book of Marijuana Facts by visiting stash.normal.org/bigbook. Pre-orders are available, and shipping begins September 1st, 2011. That's stash.normal.org/bigbook.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
Said, hey, do you have the joint cancer?
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The recently voted in city ordinance in Chico, California that would have allowed dispensaries has been repealed. The vice mayor in Chico, California has switched sides on the medical marijuana debate at the push of what he is calling a bully vote with the majority of council members on Tuesday night to repeal the town's dispensary ordinance. Vice Mayor Jim Walker says the whole town is being bullied by federal law. Council members voted 4-3 to rescind the ordinance that would have allowed for two dispensaries, despite the representative's statements Tuesday in support of medical marijuana for seriously ill patients. Councilwoman Mary Flynn and Councilman Andy Holcomb and Scott Grindel voted against the repeal. 16 people addressed council on the issue, and the majority were all against the repeal. City Manager Dave Berkland recommended council members repeal the medical marijuana dispensary ordinance in order to avoid the possibility of federal prosecution of city staff and city council. On July 5th, the council voted 4-3 to adopt the ordinance permitting two medical marijuana dispensaries of up to 10,000 square feet each to open in Chico after going through a public hearing and selection process. Mayor Ann Schwab and Councilman Mark Sorensen and Bob Evans voted against the ordinance. The opposing council member had cited a July 1st letter from U.S. Attorney Benjamin Wagner for Northeastern California that detailed how the ordinance violates federal law. Then on July 14th, city staff met with Wagner and learned that Chico employees and council members might face federal prosecution for facilitating the dispensaries. The council also voted, as the city manager recommended, to maintain the residential portion of the Chico ordinance, allowing indoor and outdoor grows with restrictions, such as no public viewing. Greg Keeney of the Chico Police Officers Association said, though the issue is complicated, the ordinance allowed illegal activity that the police could not be a part of. Jolene Francis of the Chico Chamber of Commerce told council that she thinks the city doesn't have to fight the federal government and said that the chamber supports the repeal on their own. Russ?
Well, yeah, not a very good outcome there that we would have appreciated. But this just, you know, it opens up something to me here that just blows my mind about our system. Here we have a city in the middle of a state that has legalized the medicinal use of cannabis, okay? So everybody in that city gets together, you know, and they vote for their city councils and their elected officials. And basically, through that representative process, the people of the city of Chico, California decide, you know what? Medical marijuana is legal here, and we've got patients here, and we're going to regulate a way for them to get access to their medicine, and we think that would be a good thing as a majority here. This is the way we'd like to live our life. And then somebody from Washington, D.C. calls up and says, oh, no, you can't do that. No, you can't regulate the distribution of marijuana in your state because we think it's bad 3,000 miles away. Isn't that really odd? I mean, how we have our lives out of our own control. We don't have local control over our lives anymore. We have to depend on, you know, what the federal government might say about that. You know, our founding fathers, when they formed this country, had a large degree of belief in the states being their own governments and the federal government having a very limited, enumerated set of powers, mainly to make sure that those states all got along and maintained a more perfect union. The idea of federalism wasn't that we'd have a central government 3,000 miles away dictating what we do in California. My God, our founding fathers rebelled against a dictator thousands of miles across the ocean that was doing the same thing. So it's always sad to me whenever we get these stories where the will of the people at the local level is thwarted by the federal authorities.
The Associated Press had an interesting story out today. It seems that Williams, Oregon is the top town for medical marijuana growers in a state known for growers of marijuana. Based on zip codes, almost 20% of the population is registered to grow cannabis legally. The small town, located in the southwestern corner and bordering against California, is a heavily forested, picturesque town, seemingly full of really cool people. The AP analyzed the locations of registered medical marijuana growers based on zip codes. The tiny town has 2,000 residents, and over 400 of them can grow up to 6 plants each, and some even more if they are registered as a caregiver for more than one person. 6-foot-tall fences that can shield marijuana from public view have reportedly become so common that one local pastor uses them for landmarks when giving directions. One resident is trying to start a medical marijuana testing lab, something you might see in larger population centers because demand there in Tiny Williams is so high. They even have a favorite local strain that is cherished among marijuana connoisseurs called Williams Wonder. Rural communities in southwestern Oregon, like Williams, have had the highest percentages of folks smoking marijuana, growing it, and caring for others who use the drug, unlike what you would think, like Portland, Oregon, that has such a high population. Neighboring towns in Josephine County also have high rates of pot growers, similar to the 20% in Williams. O'Brien was at 15.2%, Selma, Oregon at 10.5%, and Cave Junction at 9.9%, according to the AP analysis. The Oregon Health Authority will not provide any identifying information of pot growers and patients beyond their zip codes for patient confidentiality reasons. It will not provide information on zip codes with fewer than 50 cardholders, also for confidentiality reasons. Medical marijuana has been growing in popularity statewide since becoming legal back in 1999. The number of residents registered as patients, caregivers, and growers this year hit 120,945, nearly 4 times the number 5 years ago. Few who are asked to register are turned down. Only 950 applications, less than 1%, were terminated, denied, or suspended. Williams has a long marijuana legacy as it sits at the very top of the California-famed Emerald Triangle, a perfect combination of climate, terrain, and people who like to live and let live. It seems that have helped it move to the top of the pack in Oregon towns that are known for cannabis.
Hey, Carrie, on that analysis, was that 20% of the residences, the actual homes, or was it 20% of the residents, the people?
It says residents, so I'm going to assume it is going just by the people.
Okay. So 1 out of 5 folks in this small little town are legally registered to grow marijuana in Williams, Oregon, which is why when we turn on our news here in Oregon, we can't get past 5 minutes of news without hearing about all the terrible crime and mayhem that's going on in poor little Williams, and how the town is at riot stage, and there's massive amounts of fires and violence and gun battle. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's not it at all. Williams, Oregon is a peaceful, idyllic little place, and the fact that one out of five people are growing marijuana there hasn't seemed to have changed it much at all. People still live their rural lifestyle. They still say hi to folks in the supermarkets. They're still kind and friendly folks. Little towns like this give lie to the fear-mongering that all the prohibitionists try to put into us whenever we talk about legalizing marijuana. If you've ever been to Willits or Ukiah or any of those Northern California Emerald Triangle towns that their economies are completely based on marijuana, all of those folks will tell you that the only problem or threat they feel is from camp, is from the cops, is from those people trying to eradicate their gardens, seize their properties, and haul them off to jail. And one other thing, too, and this was also from the previous story as well, when we talk about the shielded from public view, got to have the six-foot fences, we got to have shielded from public view because, God forbid, anyone actually sees a marijuana plant. Have you ever thought about why they tend to put those ordinances in medical marijuana laws that it has to be shielded from public view? Here in Oregon, the patients can't even be seen using their medicine. If we see you in public smoking a joint, we see you through your picture window at home smoking, that's a violation. You ever wonder why they require that privacy? I'll tell you why. It's because if the average folks look out there and see marijuana plants, they realize, oh wait, it's not drug manufacturing, it's nature. And when they see a human being using cannabis medicine, they realize, oh, wait, those aren't potheads. Those are patients. That's why they want to keep all this stuff secret. And it's one of the things about medical marijuana laws that I really dislike.
Now, I love this story. 2 weeks ago, narcotics agents in Florida from the Oak Hill Sheriff's Department asked to search the Oak Hill mayor's home, having been informed that she was growing marijuana. The 84-year-old mayor says that the agents found and seized a few scrawny marijuana plants in individual containers. The sheriff's office reports notes say that 10 marijuana plants in total were discovered. Now, a spokesman for the sheriff's department says that Mayor Cook has not been charged and that investigators do not believe that she was aware of the marijuana growing on her property. But that still didn't sit well with the mayor. On Monday night, she fired the entire department. City commissioners voted 3-2 on Monday night in favor of closing the department. The controversy came to the forefront earlier this month when Mayor Mary Lee Cook told officials that she believed someone from the police force had planted the marijuana on her property. The neighboring Visalia County Sheriff's Office began handling emergency calls from Oak Hill beginning Monday night right after the meeting. The mayor called a special meeting and presented a number of complaints against Police Chief Diane Young. During the discussion, commissioners decided it would be best to terminate the entire department. Mayor Mary Lee Cook of Oak Hill, Florida, says that the marijuana plant narcotics agents found growing near a fence in her yard were placed there by someone looking to damage her reputation. We will look for more details on this story and let you know when we find out.
Yeah, I'm loving this one. We reported on it a little while back that, you know, the 84-year-old mayor found a pot plant in her backyard, but now it's gotten this this conspiracy angle to it where she thinks the cops are out to get her, so screw them. We'll just get rid of the police department. What an amazing story that is, and we'll keep you posted if there's any updates on that one in the future. Also, I wanted to make a quick notice of a post that's up at celebstoner.com, and this is an email that I had received from Keith Strop earlier today. It has to do with another one of these amendments, another one of these initiatives in Colorado. I think this is the third or fourth one now, fighting for some sort of legalization. And there's a new Amendment 40 that's been authored by Michelle LeMay, the founder of Cannabis University in Denver. And this is the quote from Keith Strop. Basically, the Amendment 40 would prevent the state from sentencing or fining those arrested for marijuana possession. And our founder Keith Strop and our legal counsel says, quote, "The language of the initiative would leave the possession of marijuana as a criminal offense. An individual caught with marijuana would still be arrested and get a criminal conviction and would suffer all the collateral consequences that come with a criminal conviction. The only thing this initiative would accomplish, if it were enacted, is that the individual would be spared a fine or jail time. Since few defendants in Colorado actually go to jail for small amounts of marijuana under current Colorado law, unless they have several prior drug offenses, all this would really do for the vast majority of defendants is eliminate the fine." So, it is a truly stupid proposal drafted by someone who clearly did not understand the colossal impact a criminal arrest and conviction generally have on an individual's life, and it is not worth supporting. End quote. Well, I actually have to differ a bit with Keith on this one. Although I won't differ in the idea that drafting it and the way it's drafted is a little daffy, right? We're still going to arrest you. We're still going to convict you for a felony for growing. It's just you won't do prison time and you won't be fined, right? But you'll still have to check off convicted felon. You'll still have that in your background and everything. But any marijuana legalization proposal that would keep someone out of a prison cell is something I have to support. I constitutionally have to support it. It's not my favorite one of the amendments going on there in Colorado, but if it's that or nothing, I'll take that. All right, Carrie, it's time for us to take a break, and I guess I have to do that by myself here with with no medicine or nothing. I'm so sad.
Oh, no, I'll smoke one for you, Russ. No problem. I got your back.
Thanks, Carrie.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Hey, this is Subcool, coming to you live from the second annual Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, and I'm on Normal Radio.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ, encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at SeedlessSummerTour.com. Slightly Stupid.
Go, we don't need no cocaine.
Revolution. Swayze. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer. Coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Because the day was hard and your work was long and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock because it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, folks. We are joined live via Skype with NorCal Perps. How you doing, NorCal Perps?
Pretty good. How you doing, Russ?
I be doing just fine. We're ready for our Irie Wednesday tune. What you got online for us?
Well, since I hear from the word that you like some Catch a Fire, I figured we'd go ahead and play them again.
All good.
So at Catch a Fire, as you guys have probably heard, since we've been playing a lot of them between this and the Ivory Island Hour, are from New Zealand, formed in 1997 as a Bob Marley tribute band. And pretty much they've toured the world. I've got some tickets to see them this fall, and sounds like a great show that's coming up. I hope to try and get backstage and see him.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
So here comes Catch a Fire at you with Sensimilla.
All right, let's do it. Catch a Fire, Sensimilla. Thanks, NorCal Perks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Oh, retaliation.
There's fire.
Nothing can stop the fire.
Coming straight to your living rooms, bouncing off your walls. Bouncing off your car windows. Alright, we're gonna talk about something old and something new.
Copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, what up? It's the Dirtball from the Cottonmouth Kings. You are now listening to the NorMal Show live.
All right, guys, here we go. We've got the top six answers on the board. Name something that gets passed around. Chris.
A joint.
A joint.
This is NorMal Show Live, where a joint is always the right answer.
Smoking my dough.
Now, Chris, I don't know what 100 people you thought we were talking to at some nice little mall across good old America, but I'm pretty sure the people didn't tell the survey people, hey, an illegal drug. Let's turn around and see how many weed heads are out there with Chris. A joint!
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, folks, at the middle of the week, we always visit with Dr. Mitch to get the latest on cannabis science, culture, history, and more. So, Dr. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
All right. Glad to have you here. And we got a whole bunch of stuff to cover here. You know, our colleague Paul Armentano is always forwarding me the latest abstracts and studies that are coming out that he sees that we should take a look at. So I wanted to get to some of these for you. There was a story, or not a story, but a study out recently in a gastroenterology journal, I guess it would be, that says cannabis use amongst patients with inflammatory bowel disease, and found that they were more likely than non-users to express an interest in using cannabis. So from this story and from what you know with the gastrointestinal diseases, what does this tell us?
Bottom line is that this is a debilitating disorder, really kind of an embarrassing one that can include a lot of gas, a lot of stomach irritation, and folks are really willing to try just about anything. It turned out in this data set that folks who had this disorder were much more likely to have tried cannabis than folks who did not. Kind of makes sense to me, given what we know about particularly the CB2 receptor in that gastrointestinal tract. A lot of folks have emailed me over the years saying that this has helped them a whole lot. I do want to emphasize, though, that there are a lot of good behavioral interventions and other medications that can be really important for this. Anything you can do to lower your stress, to watch certain things in your diet, can also be very, very helpful for this. But obviously, the plant seems to have a positive impact for a meaningful subset of folks.
All right, and of course, our own colleague here, Greg from Cannabis Cure UK podcast. He lives with Crohn's disease, and you know he's living proof. He tells us all the time about how cannabis helps him, and not just how it helps him, but how the better quality cannabis here in America is so much better for him and his condition than it is back there in the UK. So it sounds as if this study is backing that up.
In fact, I'm eager to see a clinical trial on this. I'd love to see some folks who could really go ahead and write basically scripts for this in order to see if this would help people. And I think that these data certainly support the idea that that has to be done.
Yeah. We encourage everyone also in the chat room, if you'd like to get your questions answered, just type them up into the chat with the word question in the front of them so Carrie can pick them out. Or you can call us live at 971-533-7111. I received an email, and I was really happy to get this email. It was from the Oregon Health Sciences University, which is, you know, known as one of the leading research institutions in America, and a Dr. Piper from the Department of Behavioral Neurosciences says he's a longtime listener to the podcast, and he references a study that is kind of similar to something we talked about a week or two ago, and we talked about how it was seen that CBDs and cannabis use may be helpful in getting people with a cocaine addiction to quit using cocaine. This study he's pointing to is some evidence of protection in the brain by the use of cannabinoids for people that are long-term MDMA users or ecstasy users. And I'm wondering if you've heard anything about that.
Some of the data that are on that topic have appeared in the UK and have been not overly compelling, but certainly promising. The thought that Dr. Piper is listening just fills me with joy. I'm delighted to hear that he's on there and eager to learn if other folks from that Oregon Health Sciences campus are listening, because that's just a wonderful crew out there. The data essentially showed that MDMA users who had also used cannabis were showing some of the effects of neurotoxic MDMA at markedly lower levels than the folks who had used MDMA only. This was not something that got a lot of press, as you can imagine, because we don't want to see folks really just use cannabis in an effort to avoid neurotoxicity and other drugs. But I also want to emphasize that MDMA itself, the pure MDMA, may not have been the source of the neurotoxicity in these folks. This was not a study where folks were administered MDMA. It was they had gotten it out on the street. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't, I don't want the MAPS people to email me with satanic messages or anything, because I'm not saying that MDMA causes this neurotoxicity. It's just that the impure MDMA that's found on the street may have been the source, and cannabis in its general neuroprotective effects seem to help these folks.
And wasn't MDMA originally designed as a clinical drug in the 80s to help psychotherapy and people with severe traumas?
It wasn't actually designed for that, but it turned out that the empathic aspects that it seems to increase seem to lend itself for that. And so Rick Doblin and that crew have done some stellar work on basically curing PTSD with MDMA, in part because of this empathic, emotionally open experience that's associated with it. And they did it with really, I think, a single administration, but trained therapists who are accustomed to exposing people to trauma in these kinds of settings. This is not a kind of do-it-yourself sort of task. And then, unfortunately, the other thing that people noticed was MDMA and some of its stimulant properties allowed folks to drink more alcohol. And so, particularly in Texas for some time, bartenders were basically selling it and then hoping to get, bar bills up higher. And I really do not recommend that. The neurotoxic interactions on that and on, alcohol on its own are just not something we want to play with.
All right. Another study, and I got these lined up for the day. National Institutes of Health released this one called The Subchronic Impact of Cannabinoids in Street Cannabis on Cognition, Psychotic-like Symptoms, and Psychological Well-being. And basically, these researchers study 120 current cannabis smokers, 66 were daily, 54 who were recreational users, and they measured their hair. And they were measuring their hair, the hair test, to find out how much concentration of THC they had versus how much concentration of CBD. And according to the results they published here, they said that lower psychosis symptoms were found in those whose hair had CBD compared to those without, but only in the recreational users who had higher THC. So I'm wondering if you could make some sense out of this study with regard to CBD, psychotic symptoms, and whether or not CBD might protect against the defects we find from THC, like poorer memory, while you're high and such.
As it turns out, this study, in combination with some others, definitely support the idea that the psychotomimetic, if you will, the sort of crazy-making aspects of THC are definitely limited when CBD is around. So if you've ever had a strain that just seemed to really make it crazy, odds are high it was one that might have been high in THC but not particularly high in CBD. We're seeing in laboratory studies that THC on its own, like Marinol, tends to produce some pretty aversive side effects that CBD can take the edge off of, if you will. And I think that the CBD Project is doing some stellar work trying to identify strains that are higher in CBD that are basically already available. So I'm grateful to them for that. As far as this wild interaction with neuroprotective effects, we're just getting a handle on that, and Valerie Curran has actually done some marvelous work really suggesting that at least folks who are smoking CBD-type strains at home are showing less of the memory deficits even during intoxication than folks who have these heavy-duty, high-THC, low-CBD strains.
Okay, and one last one from the archives here from the email bag, and then we'll get to our listener questions for Dr. Mitch Earlywine here. Craig Reinerman has done a recent survey of California's medical cannabis community, and he was going over the demographics of this, and what he found was that 3/4 of the medical marijuana patients he found in California were men, mostly white. 2/5 didn't use marijuana recreational before they used it medically. Most smoke versus edibles or vaporization, and most use less than 3 grams per week. Wondering if you saw those demographics and what you might think of them.
I'm delighted that Craig got the opportunity to gather these data, and this is the kind of question that I'm always eager to see answered. And it really sends a message home that the medical cannabis community is not some stereotypical heavy-duty, chronically high group. Folks who are smoking 3 grams or less per week clearly are using this for the alleviation of symptoms. The fact that they weren't recreational users prior to their medical use, I think, is really telling. The fact that there are more men than women, generally men are more likely to be using than women when you look at across users, both in this country and in other countries, for reasons that we don't have clearly pinned down, but kind of makes some sense. And then I think it's just delightful to point out that these are folks who really are, you know, just using medicine like any other medicine. I wish the vaporizer were a little more popular, but you're not seeing folks report a lot of respiratory symptoms at 3 grams a week per less, so odds are high they really don't need it.
All right. Well, let's get to our questions from our chat room here. Again, put your questions in the chat with the word question before it, and we will try to get to it. Herbal Supplement wants to know if there's been any updates on the research on cannabis and scleroderma. His mother-in-law has it and says it's a scary autoimmune disease that mostly affects women. How about it?
So I did a recheck on Medline, and there still isn't anything. And I actually asked a few experts in this area who might be reviewing articles that maybe I wouldn't have access to, and unfortunately no one was free to comment. So I'm wondering if there actually is something right now being reviewed and that basically there's a gag rule about it. But like with a lot of autoimmune things, the individual differences on it are so vast. So other autoimmune disorders tend to affect people very differently, and given the variation in strains and dosage and things like that, I'm afraid all I can recommend is start out with a little bit and see if it helps.
Yeah. Okay. We have another question here from, I'm not sure who this is from, but why shouldn't I mix my cannabis with tobacco? They mix it that way in England, and I'm wondering if that's why they have more negative medical studies.
It's curious because both Europe and Australia, this is kind of the trend where you'll roll up some hash and some tobacco and smoke that as a joint. The real issue has to do with particularly tobacco smoke being held into the lungs a long time. Now, obviously, you don't need to hold hits to get great effects. As I've discussed before from Zachney's lab, this 45-second lung buster hit really isn't getting you higher because of more THC. It's just how you feel when you hold your breath a long time. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, doing that with tobacco smoke gives the irritants an opportunity to really get attached to those delicate membranes in the lung and to really start some of the problems that tobacco smoke is notorious for. So that is why I'm always reluctant to see folks basically turn to this tobacco-cannabis combination when they could just have a nice little bit of cannabis.
All right. Question here from Canadude. When it comes to rolling joints, are hemp rolling papers any safer than a regular rolling paper?
As it turns out, we just don't have the data, but there's something really loving and interesting about that whole idea. We don't know the full impact of just the paper itself, in part because nobody smokes that on its own. Clearly, this isn't going to be as safe as a vaporizer, but odds are high if you don't experience any respiratory symptoms, if you're not coughing, wheezing, waking up in the middle of the night with tightness in your chest, it's really not a big deal.
Okay. A question from Green Girl wants to know, we recently came across a plant that tested at 1% CBG. What is CBG?
Oh, so they're basically over 65 cannabinoids. Now, these are molecules that are specific to the cannabis plant and even aren't showing up in other ones in that same family anymore. So CBG is one of these, and unfortunately we don't know its psychoactive profile. At least at doses that have been tested so far, it really doesn't seem to do much to rodents in the lab. but we're still trying to find out, and I feel like it's one of the ones that, in part because we have the test for its presence, we're going to know more about it in the next couple of years.
And, you know, kind of a follow-up to that, another person wanted to know, what is THCV?
So THCV actually has to do with the measure of the metabolites of THC, and that's one that often shows up in the urine. It's a thing that tends to kind of hang around and be the cause of why cannabis drug tests seem to stay positive much longer than say speed or some of the other drugs around. And it's really just something that your body is making from the THC that you're taking in. We often hear folks say it's delta-9 THC is the one we're usually talking about. Another numeric system is actually called delta-1, but we don't hear that as much, and this is just something that breaks down into, if you will.
Okay. Have there been any studies on the harms, if any, of the butane honey oil, the hash oil that people are using quite a bit now in California and Colorado?
I know I have been down on these in the past, in part because I just feel like this is not the home game. Getting this to do the way it should be done is not a simple process. And my issue is that all the solvents are basically boiled off appropriately before anybody's trying to consume these. And I think, you know, certainly people can do it, and it's a pretty straightforward process if you've got some experience in chemistry, but this is not something you can just do in your kitchen like making can of butter.
Right, right. And one final question. I want to remind everyone, though, that if you didn't have time to get your question asked today, you can join us again next Wednesday on Cannabis Science and ask the question, or you can send it in by email directly to Dr. Mitch in private by sending an email to 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com, and your confidentiality will be protected, and you can ask the question that you'd like to ask. So one final question for Dr. Mitch to wind up this segment. Is there any way to tell if the marijuana you smoke has been properly flushed and if it isn't harmful to smoke?
Generally, if the odor is outrageously ammonia-like or clearly un-cannabis-like, that can be an issue. If you're really concerned, by all means talk to your grower and supplier and things like that, or go ahead and flush out dry cannabis yourself. You wouldn't be the first person to do it, but make sure you lay it out nicely, dry it in an oven around 180 degrees, and you can be assured that that's certainly better than it was. But I can't emphasize enough of tax and regulated market would really sidestep a lot of these points.
Yeah, we don't seem to worry a whole lot about our cans of soup, for example. We trust that they're okay. So regulate it, and we can have these things tested and labeled and guaranteed, and be a whole lot safer for everyone.
And even in soup.
Even with soup, exactly. Before we let you go, I'm going to turn things over to Cannabis Carrie for just a second, who I believe has something for you.
Yeah, Dr. Mitch, I just wanted to say real quickly, you know, we have, if you're in the chat room, you know that we have a stasher, Yellow Wanna Cake, who has done a lot of work and put out a wonderful medical cannabis cookbook. It's her passion, the cooking part of it. And she just wanted me to make sure that I sent on to you that she is so thankful for your support and your kind words of encouragement. And I wanted to add on to the end of that I have seen you go many times one-on-one with many of our stashers and our listeners. And I just wanted to tell you that we all love you so much. And thank you so much for supporting all of us. And we will always support you.
It's really my pleasure to serve you guys. I can't thank you enough.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, who joins us here every Wednesday on our Cannabis Science segment. We appreciate it so much, and we'll talk to you again next week. All right. When we come back, folks, we are going to be bringing you a radical rant. Stick around.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420-friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org. Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical rant.
Just what do you mean by legalization? This is the question I want to ask a bunch of reformers out there, because it seems to be there's some confusion over the topic. Just what is legalization? If you've visited our blog at stash.normal.org, you've probably seen the comment flaming war that I've been in with Robert Chase and Corey Donahue out there in Colorado. And Donahue's been particularly interesting in his comments, in that he says that the folks behind the initiative that's already been collecting signatures, that's already been approved, right? Not like theirs that they haven't written and submitted yet, but the one that's already in the process. The problem he's got with it is that it legalizes 1 ounce of possession inside the home, six plants cultivation, I'm sorry, one ounce outside the home, pardon me, six plants cultivation inside the home, and something they hardly ever mention, the results of all your harvests in the home. Not from the most recent harvest, but every six plant harvest you've ever had, the results from that harvest you would be legal to have in your home. And Donahue's problem with this is that he doesn't think that's legalization. That's not legalization. Why, if we legalize 1 ounce and six plants, then people with more than 1 ounce and six plants are still illegal. So it's not legalization. So I guess I'm really serious here. What do you think legalization is? Because to me, legalization is anything that makes it so you do not get arrested, convicted, and incarcerated, or punished, or sent to rehab for marijuana, right? And considering that the people that are using it recreationally are most likely not going to need more than an ounce outside of the home, And if you know what you're doing, growing six plants and being able to keep the results of all those harvests should be more than enough to keep you rolling in weed as a recreational user. To me, that's legalization. But there's been an interesting kind of public relations campaign about this, and Donahue has seized on this. In fact, he cut and pasted it 22 times in one comment, where Steve Fox and the folks that are proposing this initiative in Colorado are quoted as saying, what we are doing here is not legalization, it's regulation. There is a legal difference, right? And so he's saying, see, they're saying right there that it's not legalization, it's regulation. See, it's not legalization. Call it what you want. Call it legalization, call it regulation, call it Fred for all I care. It means that when it passes, I can have an ounce on me and not go to jail or not be harassed by police. If I have six plants in my home, I cannot be arrested or harassed by police. If I have a whole bunch of marijuana in my home as the results of my harvest, I cannot be arrested or harassed by police. That's legalization. I don't care if you call it regulation, legalization, Fred, whatever you want to call it. If people don't go to jail for pot or get arrested or have records, it's legalization. So why is Steve Fox and Mason DeVert and these guys in Colorado saying, well, it's not legalization, it's regulation? And folks, this isn't the only state that I've heard this either. This is the problem with Chase and Donahue and these guys. They think I only pay attention to Colorado. I'm looking at 50 states and a whole bunch of countries at once. I'm hearing the same thing out of the sensible Washington people. I'm hearing Washington state people saying, no, this isn't legalization. We're talking about regulation. I've heard Robert Wolf here in Oregon with another one of the ballot initiatives saying, this is not legalization, it's regulation. And so these treat it like tomatoes crowd, the tilt crowd, pardon me, Damon. These folks are saying, well, that's not true legalization. That's not true legalization. Despite the fact it would keep almost all pot smokers out of jail. It's not true legalization. Well, let me tell you why they're saying that. It's a public relations move, pure and simple. Because here's the situation. When you say to the general public who doesn't smoke weed, and by the way, the general public still thinks weed is evil. They still think it's evil, right? When you go to the general public and you say, we want to legalize marijuana, you might as well say to them, we wish to legalize evil, right? And here's the other thing from a framing perspective. This is something I've studied a whole lot, George Lakoff's work and the idea of neuro-linguistic programming and how our brains actually think. There's a book he wrote called Don't Think of an Elephant. And the point is the minute you say, don't think of an elephant, what do you think of? You think of an elephant. And the point of that is that you cannot fight a frame by negating a frame. And the frame we have right now is that marijuana is evil. The general public thinks marijuana is evil. So in the frame of saying we want to legalize marijuana, you're talking about legalizing evil. You're talking about making evil acceptable. And that's not what the general public wants to hear. Legalization implies, just by its very nature, by its very definition, that what we're talking about is something that is currently illegal, right? And things that are illegal are bad, and things that are bad are dangerous, and things that are dangerous are evil, and now you're asking people to accept and vote for evil. On the other hand, when we talk about regulation, regulation, by its very definition, defines the situation we have now as unregulated, chaotic, out of control. So by asking people to regulate marijuana, which again, they think is evil, you are saying, we would like to control this evil. This evil is out of control. And by regulating it, we shall control the evil. This is a much bigger sell, and it's proven by looking at any of the polling that's been done on various initiatives over the past, few decades. The minute you say we're going to legalize marijuana, your poll numbers drop. When you say we're going to regulate marijuana, especially if you say we're going to regulate it like alcohol, your poll numbers go up because you're giving the people something they can understand and you are not forcing them to have to make the mental flip of decades of thinking marijuana is evil to suddenly thinking marijuana is good and should be legal. You're allowing them to still believe marijuana is evil, but it's less evil to regulate it than to let the out of control situation go on that's going on now. So, don't get caught up in the semantics of it. Legalization means not being harassed by cops, not being arrested, not having a criminal conviction for the personal use of marijuana. And that's what these amendments in Colorado would do. That's what a lot of these initiatives in Oregon, Washington, California, Massachusetts, Maine, all these other places that are fighting for it, that's what they would do, is keep people out of jail. Legalization by any other name would still smell as sweet. All right, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you. Stay tuned for Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio if you'd like to. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ and the Normal Foundation. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.